before they come.
To do that.
Welcome to the Cannon Show. He's inside of every door. When you wake and when you sleep, the Cannon guy is awfully neat.
Ooh, yeah, welcome to the Cannon Show. Introducing your hosts, Timmy, Jamie, Kevin, and myself. I am the Can Man. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the Can Man Show. Welcome to the Can Man Show. He is inside of every door. When you wake and when you sleep, the Can Man guy is awfully neat. Welcome to the Can Man Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Can Man Show. I am Chad, the Can Man Canfield. How's it going? Joining me tonight, not as always. Kevin Clamato Kappas is not here tonight due to a scheduling conflict. But joining me is Timmy.
Hey!
Timmy Arnold. How are you, Timmy?
I'm good.
Good?
I don't normally sound like that. I had to switch to my deep voice after.
Yeah.
Hey!
At least it's not a holla.
Holla!
And then you hear Charlie Barnes. How are you, Charlie?
I'm well. How are you, man?
Quite well. And Butters, Brian Butters, Bodensteiner's joining us yet again. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Oh, just chilling, minding my business. And my kids are screaming as normal. Sorry, Dan. Dan hates it when I point out that my kids are making noise in the background.
Oh,
so.
Sorry, Dan.
All right, so welcome to the show. Tonight is going to be a lot of fun. Have a few different things. You and I have cracked a couple beers, but it's not going to be a beer sample
episode.
No,
this is not a beer fest. This is a PBR wet my whistle.
Yeah, this
kind
is just to keep other whistles wet.
My taste buds still haven't grown back from the first round.
The Clamato, right.
Clamato yeah. incident.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so here's my Clamato story of the week.
Is that going to be a weekly bit?
I'm beginning to wonder.
Clamato story of the week.
This week in Clamato news.
I get on the elevator, and Clamato smells a lot like V8. So I get on the elevator, and someone must have spilled V8 in the elevator at work. And I'm like, it like triggered my gag reflex on the elevator. So this morning I knew that it was there. So I'm in the lobby waiting for the elevator door to open.
Took
and
the
I go,
stairs.
Took a deep breath. Tried to hold it, you know, kind of like you know, Ewan McGregor and Liam Neeson did in episode 1, beginning of the movie. You know, kind of do that, kind of, okay, I'm not going to breathe, kind of thing. So, anyway, that's my Clamato story of the week.
Clamato story of the week. It's a bit. We're keeping it.
All right. Good.
It's in the can.
It's in the can. So there's a lot of stuff going on this week. Let's go ahead and get that stuff out of the way. But first, before I do that, got to mention our sponsor. Thank you, Steve Red Dog Hoskins, for sponsoring
Red
the show.
Red Dog!
Thank you again for fixing my bicycle. That was very nice of you. That's really what he did.
So, thanks for screwing the wheels on my skateboard.
No, he had to true up my back tire. So he He actually took it to Schwinn and paid for it to be done.
Wow.
So, thank you for sponsoring the show, Steve Red Dog Hoskins. My father-in-law. And then also, happy birthday, Steve, because your birthday was Saturday. I have no idea how old you are, but happy birthday anyway.
I think he's like 24.
And, you know, for his birthday, he took us out to the Amanas. So we went
That's
to
awesome.
The sort colony.
Reversal.
That was
it's
good.
Exciting, though.
It was good. It was excellent. We had a little bit of steak and pickled ham and mashed potatoes. And,
what,
know,
and then
German.
They took it back? Like, they yeah. just let you have a little bit?
For those people, for like Kevin
like
Zerbe.
How do you like the steak?
well, for Kevin Zerbe.
Taking it back.
For Kevin Zerbe and the people who live not in Iowa.
Hey, Kevin.
What the Amanas are it's kind of a colony, I guess.
Cult.
Yeah.
Which is
cult.
Why they call it the Amana colonies.
It's kind of where the Germans settled in the
In, that's where we put all the Germans in Iowa.
Well, that's where they settled in Iowa, is these Amana colonies. And
or camps.
They used to be called camps, now they're colonies.
Yeah, colonies.
The Amana camps.
All right, stop. Anyway, it's basically now it's a place where you go where there's like, it's almost like Amish, not quite, but there's family-style restaurants, theaters. There's a great theater there.
There's a brewery.
There's a brewery.
75 of them, but, I believe.
Yeah.
Millstream is the big... The
yeah, we should bring some Millstream.
A buttery.
Yeah, there's a buttery creamery. Mm-hmm. And there's the old Creamery Theater, where right now you can go see The Odd Couple, that buddy of mine, Dennis Green, from KCCK, is in the show, along with Rick Swan from KZIA, to name a few names.
Cool.
I'm dropping names.
Look at you name-dropping.
Dropping names.
Famous.
Now you hear the sirens. This, apparently down the street there was fire trucks, so... I don't know if you can...
No, but the sirens, that's a cop.
Oh, is it a cop?
He's coming to get you. Well,
probably. Anyway, so make sure you can make it to Old Creamery Theater. But anyway, we went to the Amana colonies. They have, you know, basically it's just a tourist trap for, you
know, people who like Amish.
Yeah,
things.
Amish things.
But it's kind of cool.
It is cool. You get good furniture there, blankets.
There's a giant rocking chair as well.
Oh, yeah, the giant rocking chair.
There's a wool mill, woolen mill, a woolery.
Woolery.
Yeah.
Well, that's where like, they make the
not to be confused with Chuck.
Chuck Woolery.
No, I just
Chuck Woolery lives in the Amana colonies.
He does not.
He has a summer home there.
Right. So he summers in the Amanas.
We did that, and then
sounds so fancy.
It does. It sounds fantastic. So we went to the Amanas, and then so happy birthday, Steve. That's where it was going.
Happy birthday, Steve.
Happy birthday.
And then we also went and saw Up. Charlie hooked us up, literally
for real.
And we went and saw Up.
Up.
Was that Saturday or Sunday? Saturday.
Saturday
morning. Went and saw Up, and that was great. The Scott Johnson from Extra Life Radio, if you're listening, you really hit the nail on the head when you said to bring a box of tissues, because, spoiler, first 10 minutes, you're bawling your eyes out. And then about two-thirds of the way through the movie again, you're crying, and then at the end, you're crying. But it's a lot of fun.
It was really cathartic, wasn't it?
It ends well.
It's a great movie.
Sad. It's not
sad. It's just, you know, just kind of...
It's not old Yeller dying.
Yeah, no.
No, it's sweet. Not. But it's one of those that, if you have a heart,
you will be touched.
You will be touched.
Yeah. By an uncle.
Oh, stop. Shut up, altar boy. But anyway, so... Make sure you go check out Up. So this weekend, lots of stuff going on. The one thing that a couple things Jenny Rammelsberg wanted me to remind everybody. On Saturday at Usher's Ferry, which is kind of like Amanda's, but it's not. Yeah, if you take 42nd Street all the way out to, I believe it's Seminole Valley Road. Turn left and 42nd Street past the Hive View, out past the Frightmare Forest. Turn left when you get past Frightmare Forest and go all the way down that road, and you'll see the signs. Usher's Ferry is kind of an old town village.
Old-timey.
It's
like
village.
1880s type
something.
Thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. They do a lot of fun stuff there.
Well,
anyway,
the film that I was working on last summer, they filmed some 1800s scenes out at Usher's Ferry.
Was it that Tremors sequel?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. It was right. Tremors 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, but anyway, the thing she wanted me to tell you about at Usher's Ferry on Saturday, I'm sorry she didn't give me a time, but apparently she calls it Mondo Croquet. It's a tournament, and they're playing croquet with bowling balls and sledgehammers. And to participate in the tournament, apparently it's $100, four-person teams.
But you get to hit a bowling ball with a sledgehammer.
You bring your sledgehammer. You bring your own sledgehammer and your own balls. That's what it says.
So you pay $100.
I can do that in my backyard. Yeah.
But apparently there's a big payoff.
Oh, so it's a gambling racket.
It's a gambling racket. It's a tournament. So
awesome.
Somebody wins and apparently gets money or something.
That's great.
So yeah, that's that. And right now I'm going to play a little interview that I had with Kizma Asbitch from the Cedar Rapids Roller Girls, because we love the Cedar Rapids Roller Girls.
They've got a big thing coming
they
up.
Do,
here
they
shortly,
do.
Shortly,
Saturday,
don't
they? Saturday,
on this Saturday.
I'm going to tell you all about it right now.
Hey, this is the Can Man, and I am trying out a new toy. I have this brand new phone recorder, and joining me via phone is Kizma Asbitch with the Cedar Rapids Roller Girls. How's it going, Kizma?
It's going well. How are you, Ken Man?
Oh, it's going great. Going great. I understand you guys have a bout this weekend, Saturday night. Where?
Down at the Cell Center. The doors will open at 6, and the show should start around 7. Tickets are on sale right now, actually, down at the Ice Arena for $13.
Cool.
And you can also pick them up the day of down at the Cell Center, I think starting at noon, running up until showtime. And those day of are $16.
Oh, very good, very good. So you guys are playing, did you say Iowa City? Is that what I heard earlier?
Yep, that's right. Iowa City has a team called the Old Capital City Roller Girls. And they're going to be coming up, so it's going to be a battle for who's getting bragging rights over the corridor.
Oh, there you go. Sweet.
Yeah, it's going to be very fun.
That sounds like it's going to be awesome. I'm going to make sure to try and make it out there. You guys got any big strategy to win the bout?
We have practice tonight, so I don't know. We'll have to see what the coach throws at us, but I don't know. We're just really excited to have the Iowa City girls up, and they're a pretty new team. Not that we've only been around this year, is our first season, but it's just going to be a good time by both teams. And
you're going to have to teach them a lesson.
That's right. We're going to have to show them who's boss.
There you go. All right. So I'll make sure that to get everybody out there to see you again that Saturday night at the U.S. Cellular Center. For those of us that have lived here our whole lives, it's still the Five Seasons Center. And every show, you know, we play that thing we recorded at St. Patrick's Day, you guys love the Can Man show. So that just makes our day. So thanks so much again for doing that. And we really appreciate, you know, you guys being a part of the Can Man show. So thank you again.
Yeah, well, thank you for having us, and we enjoy being part of it. So.
Very cool, very cool. Well, thanks so much. I don't want to take too much of your time. I know you got to go get some beat down going on at your practice. So have fun tonight, and we'll see you Saturday night.
Okay, sounds good.
I love the Roller Girls.
Me too.
Me too.
My heart.
Right here.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting warm just thinking about them.
They touch me.
Cradled.
Not in my cockles, though.
Oh,
but I like, because my wife would be a little bit upset if they touched my cockles.
Your cockles and muscles.
I did pick up some new juggling balls when I was at Jacob's store the other day.
What?
I picked up some new juggling balls.
No, I heard what you said.
I figured to go along with it. I figured to go with the cockles. So.
Okay, all right.
That was a good segue. But speaking of events that are coming up.
Very smooth, Can Man.
Now, speaking of events that are coming up, Comics in Action is an improv comedy troupe that I was once a member of. I'm in a different comedy troupe called Closer Than They Appear. But you can check out Comics in Action. They have an upcoming gig. Where is that at, Butters?
It is at the Bohemian in Czech Village.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but this is a reminder to get your, well, I don't know, is there tickets available ahead of time or what?
Nope, it's going to be a free show. So just come in, 8 o'clock starts.
But if you wish to...
If you want to buy a ticket ahead of time, just go ahead and hit me up.
PayPal.
I take PayPal, credit card.
Just tell them the Can Man Show sent you, and Brian will hook you up.
Just drop cash in the mailbox at his house.
Yeah. So it's a improv comedy show. Comics in Action has been around for a very long time in Cedar Rapids. As I mentioned, I was a member. Right now, how many members are there in the troupe currently?
We have 8 right now.
8?
Or
cool.
So.
Or so.
Ish.
It fluctuates.
Yes.
Depends sometimes
comes,
9.
Sometimes 9. Sometimes
or 40.
3. It's whoever shows up that week.
Yeah, it depends on who quits that day and
then
comes back the next week.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I've been there, done that. Still do it. But cool. Well, make sure you go check out the Comics in Action show. So I saw your Facebook status, and I figured you better get that plug
in
there.
Yes, shamelessly.
Shameless.
I throw it out whenever I can.
CIA.
8 p.m.
The Bohemian.
Bohemian. They have duck pizza on Quaker crust.
I think that's what happened last time, is the wah-wah came out.
Yeah. I don't care. It's great stuff.
This is indicative of the comedy that you will be getting at the Bohemian.
No, probably not. The troupe has got some great talent in it, and I really, really enjoy
it. Oh, I was just kidding. Don't get mad at me. Don't get angry.
I'm going to
put the knife away.
I did.
Okay.
I put it back in its sheath.
That was a metaphor.
I know it was.
There were cockles hidden in there.
I'm just going to drink my beer now.
Oh, good Lord. What'd you do to me? All right. So this week, I was kind of wondering a couple different things. I was reading Ain't It Cool News, and I've been reading, you know, different movie news sites, and apparently there's a lot of movies either being remade or they're making another installment of. And my question that I posed to the
I really hope
Facebook
they remake
people,
Ishtar.
I hope so too. Tootsie. That actually was a good movie. But anyway, what my question that I posed to the Facebook people, my friends on Facebook, was is Hollywood coming up? Is their creativity dead? Is their well of creativity dead? Then I've got the devil's advocate to that question. But what do you guys think? Is creativity dead in Hollywood?
Just on a hiatus.
On a hiatus?
Mm-hmm. I did some cherry picking because I wanted to be like, creativity isn't dead. These are stories that are worth retelling. Like, technology's advanced to a point where they can actually create things that were part of the original, either the writers or the person who originally did the movie, part of their creative vision that they just weren't able to do. But then I came upon a story about the new script for the Where's Waldo movie, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
Never mind.
It's dead. Forget what I was thinking. It's dead. It's gone.
I mean, is the creativity just an independent film right now? I mean, I've seen some pretty creative stuff come out of independent film, but are they just kind of, is independent film people learning to make films, or is independent film kind of where the inkwell of creativity comes from? Because like
independent film is where people are willing to take risks. So even large studios are going to create these boutique movie companies to do these the creative risky stuff. When they can spew out their large budget action vomit.
That's the problem, because they create these boutiques and they like rocket people into stardom, and then they. Like,
then they throw money at them
and they immediately homogenize them and they smash them into a box.
Well, here's an example. The guys who did Blair Witch Project, mm-hmm. you know, they put the movie together for under what, $10 million? Actually, less than that. It was
for the actual filming, it was much, much less than that. And then there was some
like less than 10 grand,
right? It was less than 10 grand, but then there was the
and then
marketing.
There was the promotion stuff that happened once it was picked up,
right? But then it came back and made like $100 million.
Right.
And so that was the people that did that. They took that idea and then they tried to homogenize it and made Blair Witch 2, which was just a piece of crap in a box. And, you know, what kind, I mean, is that just the machine or?
Yep.
I mean,
I think that's just
let's
the nature of.
Little,
yeah,
think.
Let's discuss it.
Well, I think it's symbolic of what's been happening to society at large, which is marketing has become more omnipresent. I mean,
It's everywhere.
Everywhere, and it's the people they have doing it have read the research, they've done the research, and they know how to just make it this implicit thing where people are marketing like in their own heads for the companies. You know, like you're thinking, you're not being like, I need to blow my nose. You're like, I need to get a Kleenex, which is a product.
Right.
You know, you're thinking about Band-Aids. You only are able to conceptualize things in terms of like the cool factor or whatever sort of spin a company has given it, and it's just taken all the reality or the genuineness out of our reality, out of the things that we perceive, and just like I was saying, just sort of homogenized it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know what's cool because somebody else is telling you. You know what's cool because that's what Shia LaBeouf is wearing or whatever. Like,
oh, he's really cool though.
That's why I have the hand brace on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's what he's wearing right now.
Yeah. Me too. Actually, you guys can't see this at home, but we're all wearing hand braces.
We are. Mm-hmm. We are.
And I'm gonna lose my chin because apparently Shia has no chin.
He does not.
That's what I hear.
He doesn't?
I don't know. Apparently not. That's what Scott Johnson
says. It's a prosthetic
says.
Chin, what he wears when he goes out.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It is brilliant. I mean, you're even wearing a Harley t-shirt right now, and you've got
I am.
Sesame Street on your shirt, which I appreciate, and I've got some high school logo. I mean, I like t-shirts, and I think if the art's well done, regardless of what the art is, but it does make you want to go ride a Harley, not a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes
well,
it
but
in
I,
your head.
Right, and I own a Harley. Although I have had Harley Davidson t-shirts in the past when I had never even ridden a motorcycle, let alone, you know, owned a Harley
midlife
Davidson.
Midlife crisis. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, I really like my motorcycle. I like the shirt that goes along
I
with
like
it, but it certainly
too.
Is me promoting Harley Davidson for them, and I paid
for that shirt.
I paid for the opportunity to advertise
for Harley Davidson.
Harley Davidson,
and your cap, National Football League. You're wearing a cap that you paid money for, or did you win that from Pepsi?
Oh no, I totally bought this.
And then you're wearing a NCAA Iowa Hawkeyes cap, there, Butters. Yep. And you know, I mean, think about.
I mean, look at Charlie wearing his Britney Spears, you know, tour T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he paid for that.
I know.
She didn't even just give it to him.
Actually, she did. She handed it to me.
She did.
Oh, but she shot it out of a cannon from her hands. She
right.
Like a
how'd you get the Dribble T University logo on there, though?
Actually, she and I did this synergy thing where we sort of combined our brands, and we, yeah.
There we go. There we go. So, I mean, my question is Hollywood, by remaking these movies, by Short Circuit, Predator,
Total Recall,
remaking these movies. What's wrong with Total Recall? Robert Picardo is awesome in that movie.
Nothing.
Anyway, there's nothing wrong with Total Recall. By banking on these, are they banking on the safe bet by thinking that you're going to go in and with these quote unquote tough economic times, banking on the safe bet and making all these remakes because they know that you'll spend money to go see them? I mean, Land of the Lost, I hear, is a big piece of crap.
It's terrible. I watched it last night.
It's a big piece of crap, and you know, it kind of upsets me. Not that the show wasn't a big piece of crap. I mean, Sid and Marty Krofft, you know, God bless you for putting the hokiest piece of crap TV show on Earth on TV.
It was ambitious for its time.
It was ambitious, but, you know, the effects, crazy, crazy. Anyway, so are they banking the money on the safe bet and not... You know, and then harnessing that creativity for something else. Now, mind you, the people that put those movies together, I mean, the special effects that go into these different movies that are, you know, the remakes of the A-Team. They're making the A-Team movie, and I heard Liam Neeson just got cast as Hannibal. I mean, these things that they're banking on our childhood, reminiscing. And
all nostalgia. The kids who are watching these shows then have now grown up and have families of their own, and you know,
is it too soon for nostalgia for like the A-Team and
stuff? But that's the thing, like, this marketing is ramped up to a point where like there are pieces of your childhood that aren't like some like special drink or food that you had at your grandma's. It's these shows that you watched, and people own those shows, and people still own those shows, and people can buy and sell those shows.
I mean, I like Johnny Knoxville, but I didn't like the Dukes of Hazzard movie. It was a piece of crap. I mean,
it was really horrible.
It was bad. I mean, I think that, you know, if they're going to do something, they should do it true to life, not lampoon it. I mean, make it like the television show. I don't know. I suppose it's the director.
Yes, but
that's the director's prerogative. I mean, I could see the, you know, over sensationalizing. Now they're making a Jetsons movie. Tony Bott pointed out that Robert Rodriguez. It's a live-action Jetsons movie. Live-action Jetsons movie.
And that worked so well for the Flintstones.
You know, I liked the Flintstones
the
movie.
The first one. Okay.
The second one, I went back and watched, I actually liked it better.
Which is the one where he gets in trouble for embezzling from the guy and Halle Berry's in it?
That would be the first one.
Okay.
The first one.
I like that one.
The other one was Rock Vegas, and that had the guy who played Dave in the Full Monty as Fred Flintstone. He was also in the show with Jamie Gertz on CBS for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Still Standing?
Wasn't Stephen Baldwin in one of those?
Yeah, he played Barney Rubble. And Stephen Baldwin, the way his eyes, you can't even see his eyeballs in real life because they're so bleached out blue. He played the perfect Barney Rubble. I mean, no offense to Rick Moranis, but Stephen Baldwin, I think, did a heck of a job as Barney Rubble, and the guy that they cast as Fred, I thought was pretty good. Now, of course, it was, and the other thing, Betty's hot, okay? Betty's supposed to be hot. Rosie frickin' O'Donnell. Rosie frickin' O'Donnell.
I wanted to make, in the cartoon, Betty Rubble would have been somebody, I like brunettes.
Yeah, she's, like, hey, Betty, she's hot.
Right.
And so they cast, I don't know who they cast as Betty in this one, but she was hot. So,
which works.
Yeah, it was not Rosie frickin' O'Donnell, but so you guys think that they're hedging their money right now and put it Hollywood, you know, the big people are putting.
I don't think it has specifically to do with tough economic times, as it has to do with Hollywood is solely there to generate revenue. It's all about money, and if you can make a film and spend, you know, $30 million making a film that's going to turn $30 million worth of profit, and the movie sucks, But you know that you've got that. That's $30 million of revenue that you can't turn down.
Right. But here in the movie business though, if you pay $100 million to make a movie and the movie grosses $1 billion, okay, or close to, you know, several hundred thousand, at what point is the movie successful? There's movies that they put out there that they made for $1 million, and then the movie makes $10 million. Some of those art house pictures and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. They don't consider those a big success.
No, it's not that they don't consider them a big success. That's just not what is carrying their balance sheet. That's not what's going to sustain them through to the next year. It's the multi-million-dollar
next Batman, next Spider-Man
that they do, and all of those smaller films give them credibility, I guess,
street cred.
But they're not what's going to keep you going through the next 5 years.
Butters, you got anything to say on this?
I think the whole creativity kind of went the way of David Carradine, slow and suffocating.
Oh, with balls wrapped up in a cord.
What was he doing in Thailand in a, anyway?
He was filming
whatever he wanted.
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently.
He was doing a film called Stretch, oddly enough.
They're making a Stretch Armstrong.
Are you messing?
Film.
Oh, yeah, they are making a Stretch Armstrong.
No,
film.
But no. The name of the film was Stretch. That he was there filming.
Just hanging around.
Yeah. He was at the time. It was an off shooting day. He was just hanging around in his hotel room.
Kind of choked up.
Choked up about it. Yeah.
Wow. You realize we're going to hell, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're going
to
get to hang out with David Carradine.
It's funny because he is actually on episode of House that was on TV, or like episode of Medic or Mentalist or something.
Yeah.
That was actually showing tonight. Kind of creeped me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm.
The Mentalist.
Because I kind of pictured, you know, that whole scene mm-hmm. in my head at that
so
time.
So did he get hung in the show?
I don't think so.
No, okay.
In my mind.
Oh, that would have been foreshadowing.
Would have been foreshadowing, or would it have been just poor taste to air the episode?
It would have been awesome taste.
Yeah. I mean, how could you pass up that opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, we've got this one. We need to clear our schedule and show this one five times.
Oh my.
See, I think Tim hit it on the head before. It's capitalism. It's about the money.
Yay, capitalism.
No.
Well, it's a little research. But they're trying to get every single person to like it instead of, you know, hitting one market group. You know, they're trying to make
it shouldn't be about market group.
But you know it shouldn't, but it is.
But it doesn't have to be.
You run across the same thing when you try and sell a show at a theater. I mean, not just a movie theater, but a stage production mm-hmm. show. What makes your money in a theater? Musicals. Well, what do you really want to see? What do you want to be a part of when you're acting? As an actor, I want to be in a stage play more than a musical. I can hardly sing. I mean, I could sing, but not like Timmy. You know,
no one can whatever. Sing like Timmy.
Yeah, but
and they never will either.
Yeah, that's right.
No, but you know, I mean, I would rather act. I mean, I enjoyed the most amazing part role I had was Dave and the Full Monty, but I also had a hell of a time playing Cheswick and Cuckoo's Nest. I mean, the stage plays, if you get in the right one and just to be part of that character, but the stage plays don't sell as well as musicals. I mean, and so...
But
this
art. It shouldn't be about what's selling. Movies are art. Most
right.
things are art
I know.
In society.
Even
that's
community
just
theater.
Ignored.
But community theater, the board... I mean, I'm on the board of directors, and one of the things that you hear when they're trying to come up with that season is, okay, we have a budget to meet. So that puts the creativity to the side. But can you be creative in a musical just as creative as you can be in a regular straight play?
But what's the point of having art if next week you're going to be flipping burgers because you didn't make any money?
But that's the thing. We should live in a society that gives enough of a crap and understands why art is important enough to fund it. But we don't because everything is run by money. And that's what I hear. Every single place I go, it's like, oh, I'm just doing this so I can make money to do what I really want. But everybody gets trapped in doing this, and it just sucks, and it never stops sucking.
That's what I do for a living. I do something that I'm doing until I can afford to do what I want to do.
Well, there's two ways that you can look at the whole money issue, specifically like with the movie industry. I mean, we can't assume that every person in a position of authority within a film company or something
right.
doesn't care about the art part of it. But they understand that in order to run that business, that they have to make money to be able to do, maybe the films that their pet projects,
the next
things
movie.
that really excites them. but they understand that they can't successfully run this business if that's only what they do. Now, I mean, conversely, you could say, okay, like I said earlier, street credibility. I'm going to do this small independent film, and that's going to make everybody think that I'm not such a money-grubbing jerk, so that then I can turn around and I can make the big-budget film.
But do you blame like the big actors, like Brad Pitt, for example? Do you blame him for taking the paycheck when you know how much, you know, the $20 million, $30 million paycheck, when you know how much money the movie's making?
Yeah,
that doesn't. I like to think that they're gods. I like to think that Brad Pitt would do everything like I do, except better and smarter and stronger and faster.
And sexier.
And yeah. He'd do it
sexier. I'll give him that. But I don't see him as a god. He's just a guy who from Missouri
who
was in Thelma and Louise. And he's impregnated Angelina Jolie at least once. So
that's awesome.
I would like to stop and think about that. Can
we please have a moment of silence?
I'm thinking about his cockles all over again.
They're very warm.
It's like with corporations. Like corporations are run to make money for the investors. They aren't run on from like a moral standpoint. Like,
well, corporations depends on the type of corporation. It's when a company goes public that.
That's a corporation.
Well, a public corporation. Mm-hmm. It's when it's a private corporation, that's one thing. When you're running it for the love of the business, mm-hmm. yes, you need to make money. Yes, you need to make payroll or your business goes under. But you make a lot different decisions when you're running it for yourself and your coworkers than if you are for a room full of shareholders.
But it shouldn't. But the thought process that goes into making your business successful for either a small group or a large group shouldn't change.
It does.
You should maintain the same.
But
it shouldn't.
Well, here's the deal. It shouldn't.
That doesn't
but it
mean
does.
That it. Obviously, well, it does because you have more. Well, you have more stakeholders and more input.
From a person that's worked for a public company and one that now works for a private company, there's a huge difference. In the private companies, you know you're in a private company when you have to sign out office supplies from the closet, when you have to be at your desk right here this time, and then at this time you have 2 minutes to go to the bathroom, and then at this time you got to go back in and be on the phones, and then
you're constantly watching your margins.
And if you're not being productive and someone's looking over your shoulder, and in a public company, that's where the micromanagement comes in. I mean, they are trying to squeeze out every single penny out of every single person that they're getting, that especially right now. And I know there's people, friends of mine, people that are on this show that are going through very tough times right now, not because they're making less money. Well, some of them are, but because they've gotten rid of people in their companies, and now 20 people are doing the work that 50 people used to do. And they're trying to work the people and make them scared that they're going to lose their jobs. And, you know, it's all because they want to make the shareholders happy and raise the stock up. Well, in the movie business, I mean, you know, you want to make money off those movies, but you do have to have the B pictures. You have to have the B pictures. But how do you make money out of them? I mean, I suppose you got DVD and direct release now. I mean, but do those cost more to produce than a regular film stuff? I guess it does. I mean, you're not putting it on a roll of film, and film is expensive and to project it. But to put it on a digital projector, I mean, it costs more to put a digital projector in a theater than it does.
Long-term costs are significantly cheaper for digital projectors, though.
The initial startup cost, though, is more
it's
expensive.
Higher, but if you look at the initial startup of a standard 35mm film projector, those were enormous as well.
Right.
But I mean, like, for example, at the movie theater I work at, some of those projectors are from like 1963.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean, they've been upgraded.
Right.
They've had components switched out, but like the startup costs for digital, presuming that the digitals are like hardy and they last and they are easy to repair and cheap to repair, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Like in the long run, is significantly cheaper. And that's, of course,
and plus you get a higher quality product.
Well, it's a matter of you're looking at millions of colors versus billions or trillions of colors on a digital projector.
Right. But then again, they go into a different argument of not just, I mean, throw creativity and that stuff out of the window. There's something to be said about digital versus analog. I mean, to get
the film grain. Yeah, that's a You're talking about music, you're talking about film, you're talking about
right.
photography, whatever you were. I mean, porn. That's a whole...
Right, there's a whole other can of worms. Because I like film grain in my porn for some reason, right?
I like mm-hmm. all kinds of grain in my porn.
He likes barnyards.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
the more grain, the better.
I'm going to stop.
Farm porn.
I think you have to kind of throw, I mean, regardless of the money aspect of the whole thing, but you also got to figure how many people are trying to not offend with the rating systems and everything else. You got to add that in there,
this
too.
Is so candy.
But are they? Are they trying not to offend?
Well, I think you got two extremes. I think you got ones that are trying to offend people.
But are they really trying to offend, or do they, I mean, what's offensive nowadays?
Everything.
Yeah, exactly. Everything.
Look at John Waters.
Okay.
Look at the movies that he was making, like Pink Flamingo era. Look at the movies right. he was making, like Desperate Living. Watch Desperate Living and then compare that to, like, Pecker.
Yeah.
Or whatever right. his most recent movie was. It's pathetic. Like, those movies were designed to, like, make people uncomfortable, to push people.
Wasn't
that's
the
they
movie
awesome.
Pecker? Was it Pecker or was it Spankin' the Monkey? The guy who directed, you directed. No, I guess I'm thinking of a different movie. I'm thinking of School of Rock, not Old School. Mm-hmm. The guy who directed Old School did Hangover.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, the guy who directed Spankin' the Monkey did School of Rock. He also did the most recent Bad News Bears remake.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for a second there it was the same guy that did Hangover, but I guess not. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is it offensive because you're offended by it, or is it offensive because it really is offensive?
I don't think it's so much
well,
individual
that's
people.
So
I think
subjective.
It's just a group.
Everything should be permitted. There should be nothing that should offend people. People should be cultured enough that they can sit and stand and watch anything.
And, no
and later can be like, I didn't like that. It wasn't my preference.
Well, but then you bring the is it offensive thing, again, comes back to the money. Why do movie companies not want to offend people? It has nothing to do with I'm going to burn in hell because I offended people. It's going to be because of the potential for protest or whatever it happens to be.
But in the movie business, isn't
protest
good? Because with protest becomes free press. And with free press comes ticket sales. So,
well, I mean,
for example,
you know, protests could be boycott.
Dogma.
And if you offend enough people and they all boycott it,
Kevin
and
Smith's,
the film doesn't sell.
Well, there's people that are going to go to it because damn the man. You know, because I mean, look at Kevin Smith's Dogma, did pretty decent in the theaters, and the reason it did was because of the Catholic, the protest.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, Catholic League or
Anti-Defamation
League or something? Anyway, they went and protested the movie. What backfired? People wanted to go see the movie because of that.
Didn't Kevin Smith also protest with them?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he did. He's like, hell yeah, protest this because I want the ticket sales.
I've often thought about just making a movie just like out of the blue, like Jesus was a drag queen. I mean, you're going to have two groups. You're going to have people that want to go because they hate it, and the people that want to go just be like, yeah, stick it to them. You're going to make millions just off the name alone.
Jesus is a drag queen.
Something. Just throwing it out
copyrighted
there.
Copyrighted by Brian Butters Bodensteiner.
Yeah, if that comes out in a year, I'm going to be mad.
I don't know. I mean, this is probably one of the coolest discussions we've had on the show, and it's kind of gone off on a couple different tangents.
That's
but
all right.
You kind of
we're tangentialized.
You're
tangential.
Tangentialized.
Transgenitalian.
That's something
does that mean you got
different.
Both organs
across time and space.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That was sort of a. That killed everybody's flow. Everybody
no, it didn't. No, I liked it. It was good. For some
don't
reason,
lie
I feel like
to him.
Putting my kilt on.
How's my electronic cigarette doing over
there? I
don't
know. Let's check this out. It's still red. Do you want it anyway?
Yeah, let's see if that battery's thing. Charged.
Okay. So explain this electronic cigarette as I pass it to you.
All right.
Looks
well,
like a ballpoint pen.
It does. Where's the
USB
rest
adapter.
Of it here?
With the base. Oh, God.
No, I have it.
Oh, God.
I think it's maybe perhaps in my pocket.
So here's a little story. Tim, what happened with the smoking thing?
I quit.
Yeah.
And then I failed at quitting.
He quit quitting?
Yes, I failed as a quitter.
He's a recidivist.
I am, yes. The rate of recidivism in my lifetime having to do with smoking is astronomical. Right. So anyway, I know this guy. See, He's sitting in this room who had a lead on this electronic cigarette. It's called Steams.
Very underground.
Yeah. This is new. Totally new.
It's hot.
And what it is...
It looks like the ballpoint pen I used to smoke in the Full Monty.
Right. It looks very much like a cigarette. Yeah. Kind of. It's plastic. It's kind of like aluminum. It's metal.
It's some heft.
It has an LED at the end.
Mm. Oh, wow.
See that? It lit up when I inhaled on it.
Wow.
It has a fluid inside, which can contain nicotine or not, different flavors, things like that. It also has a lithium-ion battery in it.
Wow, don't get it wet.
When you inhale it, there's an airflow sensor.
Lithium in water?
Right.
Yeah. That stuff's explosive.
Everything up there on that end of the
alkali earth metals.
Yeah.
When you inhale it,
yeah.
There's an airflow sensor in there, which activates the atomizer, which vaporizes the fluid contained within it. And it's supposed to mimic a cigarette. So we're going to give it a shot and see if it's working here.
We're going to puff and pass.
I'm not going to puff. Wow. You're taking a big old drag off of it. Oh, it looks like smoke and everything. Wow.
So
it doesn't hang around like smoke.
It doesn't. There is no secondhand smoke. It's a vapor.
It
is not smoke. It is just it's a propylene glycol solution.
So you can get drunk off of it.
So it's basically antifreeze.
Yeah. And it tastes really sweet. I give it to my dog.
Propylene glycol, that is antifreeze, isn't it?
Ethylene and propylene.
Nice.
But so anyway, it mimics...
You're smoking antifreeze.
Smoking, yes.
You want to huff my radiator?
I know. It's great.
I suppose that's probably better than what you get in a real cigarette then. I mean, antifreeze.
Right, but... at least so anyway, it's kind of cool. It's almost like a toy, but a really cool toy. And it's sort of like smoking a cigarette.
I know what my nieces and nephews are getting for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not looking, I mean, from a distance, it looks like a real... When you're taking a drag off of it, it looks like a real cigarette.
It does, but then there's no smoky smell.
But then
none of that stuff.
Then when you take it out of your mouth, it looks like a ballpoint pen again.
Right. I mean, which it very much does. But
it's crazy. Flick your Bic. Wow, there's smoke-looking substance coming out of your mouth.
Anyway, so that's my new toy that Charlie helped me acquire.
So, Charlie, what's the story with this thing? How did you help him acquire this?
My dad and my brother, actually, are trying to distribute these throughout the Midwest.
Yeah.
Perhaps Florida. I don't know what my brother's Sitch is right now. That's short for Situation.
Your brother's name is Situation?
No.
Oh, that's a situation.
His name is Scout.
Scout.
That's not his name.
Right.
No. I don't know who would name their kid Scout. That's crazy.
Wait a minute. That's my kid's middle name.
Danger's mine.
Bruce Willis called his kid Scout.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I rest my case.
My kid's middle name's going to be Crime Fighter.
Nice.
So, anyway, but yeah, I think it's very cool. It is a smoking cessation tool.
So you're hoping to quit again?
Oh, absolutely.
For real.
Yeah, again.
Again.
Yes.
All right. You've done it before.
I have. Again. I did it for a long time, actually, for about 5 months this year.
Yeah, Christina's like looking at Facebook, and she sees Stephanie's profile. Her finding out about you smoking.
Yes, she did discover cigarettes in my car.
Shame in the world.
You were holding them for somebody, though, weren't you?
Yeah.
No, I couldn't even lie to her. She held them up. Whose are these? Charlie was standing there. I'm sure he was extremely comfortable being there.
I was not. I was not uncomfortable, but I was like, should I take the hit for these? And then Steph is like, I know they're not yours.
Because you don't smoke, Charlie.
No. But,
I owned up to my slipping back into a bad habit.
I highly recommend seeing that movie. He's not that into you. He's not. Wait, let me. There's. It's right there. What's the title of it? He's just not
that into you.
Just, yeah. There's a guy who, of course, he had an affair too. But he was hiding the cigarettes in his house. So you got to see the movie to understand.
Okay.
This guy had an affair on.
John girl, and Kate plus
no,
eight?
No. Wait. No, the girl who played in Labyrinth,
Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, yeah. She still looks
delicious.
Yeah. So she was his wife in the movie, and then he had an affair with
Conan
Scarlett
O'Brien.
Johansson.
Oh, well, duh.
Yeah, so.
Well, there's a no-brainer.
I would take Jennifer Connelly.
I would take Jennifer Connelly.
I would take Jennifer
Just because
Connelly
of
too.
The Labyrinth. Craig.
No, yeah. Have you seen Lost in Translation?
What was that movie she was in where she like got stuck in Target overnight with the overnight stock boy? What was that movie?
Jennifer Connelly?
Yeah. Gosh, what was that movie called?
Was it Hot?
No, she was hot in that movie. That was the movie where I'm like, oh my gosh, she's really, really beautiful.
Was it Mannequin?
No, it was not Mannequin.
Because that was a good movie.
No, but there's the guy that looked
one they could remake right there.
Okay, there's three guys in Hollywood that get all confused. Matthew Broderick, John Cryer, and then this other guy. This other guy was in one, I think, John Hughes film. And I think this movie was even a John Hughes film.
A McCarthy kid?
Oh, no, not Andrew McCarthy. No, these three look a lot alike. Let me find the movie.
Corey Haim?
No.
Did I ever tell you that I was the third Corey?
Were you really?
Yes. Yep.
You hung out with the Coreys?
Yeah, I was the third Corey.
Your name isn't Corey, though.
Yeah, it was really... That's why it failed.
They kicked him out.
Right.
But you were in for a while.
I was definitely in. I used to drive. I used to drive.
Did they let you wear your sunglasses at night?
Yep. Yep.
That would be Corey Hart, right? Okay, Jennifer right. Connelly.
He's the fourth Corey.
This was something that was...
And then he became the third Corey when I got kicked out. They're like, hey, dude, we found a new Corey, and his name is actually Corey.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, fine, I see the writing
on
the wall.
Career Opportunities was the title of the film.
Oh, it looks delightful.
And it had Frank Whaley was the guy's name. Look at him. Tell me he doesn't look like John Cryer and Matthew Broderick.
He looks significantly older than I remember them looking.
Here.
He really does, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does in that picture. How about that?
Even that.
I think he played... He didn't even...
He looks like Ducky.
Yeah, he kind of did. I think he played Ducky.
He played Ducky in that movie
that
about Ducky's life?
That'd be John Cryer.
That was John Cryer.
Good Lord.
Nobody can out John Cryer.
I think John Cryer did.
Maybe
except
Frank
John
Whaley.
Cryer in Two and a Half Men.
He was in Swing
and
Kids.
Liam Neeson.
He played Arvid in Swing Kids. This guy.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Let's see what he's been in recently.
Dated a girl.
Drillbit Taylor. Kids. He played Jittery Bodyguard.
Uh-oh. That's a big
Let's see. Let's see. In the World Trade Center movie, he played Chuck Sarika.
Oh, speaking of pandering.
Yes.
What?
That's kind
Started
of...
too soon.
Yeah, that was too soon. Anyway, so Frank Whaley, he's the guy I think that looks a lot like Matthew Broderick and John Cryer.
Okay.
And in fact, often was confused.
Hey, good find.
Both of them. Yeah. With that. Career Opportunities. Plug that back in.
Plug that back in for me. Charge my battery.
Sure.
Boo.
Fool. All
Daddy
right.
Needs
so
his medicine.
Danny needs medicine. So Charlie, what comes out this week? Do you know?
The Taking of Pelham 123 and Imagine That, starring Eddie Murphy and a blanket.
Is
the blanket wet?
The Taking of Pelham 123, that movie kind of intrigues me.
It's a remake.
It's got Tony Soprano in it.
It was originally called Turk 183.
Turk 182.
Turk 182.
No, this is the Taking of Pelham 123, which is based on Turk 183,
which was the sequel to Turk 182.
What?
No. This, I just
was there 181 then?
Yes,
that?
There was.
There was. There Most was actually. It goes all the way back. There was a 57.
There was a negative 23 at one point.
Is
they
that something
their way
you learned at the GTU?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's actually a whole class on that movies with numbers. The Fahrenheit 451 movie.
Yeah.
Right. Six Clockwork degrees Orange of separation.
Mm-hmm. They made a Clockwork Orange too.
No.
I was gonna say.
I would watch that, or I would be in that.
Wow. You do a little of that in-out.
Mm-hmm. The old in-out.
The old in-out.
I'd drink a little Voloco Melisette.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. I like that movie.
I love that movie.
It's quite...
I've seen it over 40 times. Every time when I was sick, I would sit at home. My dad would go rent that and The Adventures of Baron von Munchausen for me.
Oh my gosh, that is one of my favorite movies of all times. That's one of the most underrated.
For me, it's The Breakfast Club was the movie that I wore out.
That's a little too obvious.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know, I'm sorry. I can't be quite as indie as you.
Yeah, I know. Nobody can be, though.
But I wore out my copy of The Breakfast Club. My first VHS copy got, literally, the tape broke. And, you know, what can I say?
Then you worked at, what was it, Alter Ego? Where'd you work?
I worked at Hot Topic.
Hot Topics.
But that was way past my Breakfast Club days. The Breakfast Club days were... when I was in like middle school,
were you
junior
demented
high school, and
sad,
and high
but
school.
Social?
But social.
He was butt social. That's for sure.
I was butt social.
Are you showing him your?
Wait a minute!
Again?
I'm not sure I like the direction that this conversation is taking. Bend over.
He's here as well.
On this note. So Adventures of Baron von Munchausen,
love
Terry
movie.
Gilliam's film.
Masterpiece.
One of his masterpieces. The other one was Time Bandits, but
that was a good movie.
Yeah, that was a really good movie.
I like movies with weird-looking people in them.
Well, me too.
Yeah.
Baron von Munchausen was awesome. Robin Williams was in that. Shelley Duvall.
Dude, tons of people were in that.
Are we talking about Popeye?
Eric Idle was in that. Sting was in it. Bada
yes.
Boom. Sting.
Gordon
Lightfoot.
Shumway.
No.
Gordon Shumway was in it all the way from Nomad.
Damn right.
No, what is Sting's real name? Gordon something. His last name is something strange.
He was a school teacher.
But he just changed it to... I don't remember. Why don't you Google that or whatever
teacher.
It is you do?
The Sidewalk. I don't know.
What is it? Gordon, he has a kind of a strange last name.
He was in
not Lightfoot. Right?
I thought he was
Sting wrote Sting. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Probably got a stage Edmund name.
All right, Sting.
He's not credited in Dune.
Oh, come on. He's got to be credited in Dune. All right, keep going.
How did he possibly get by with saying, hey, you know what, don't put me in it?
There he is, Sting. Let's see.
Does he have a name?
Gordon Sumner.
Sumner.
Why
okay, so it's not yeah. strange. I thought it was weird, but it wasn't.
It's named after a season, I guess. It would be.
Whoa, he's looking rough there.
Yeah, that was from January 2009.
Ouch.
Something.
At Sundance.
Sundance.
Judging
oh.
by the Sundance mm-hmm. Festival behind his head in that picture.
In Colorado, you gotta have
a beard. That's right.
Isn't David Bowie's real name like one of the monkeys or something?
Like that is his name?
One of the monkeys. My mom.
His name is Peter Tork.
Yeah. What is his name?
Mickey Dolenz. Grew up to be David Bowie.
His real name is David Robert Hayward Jones.
Davy Jones.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's great trivia. You know some trivia I found out today? I was doing a little studying on the Church of the Subgenius.
Studying?
Mm-hmm. Studying.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But Bob Dobbs is a stud. That's all I'm going to say about that.
A pipe. He's bepiped.
Yeah, he's bepiped.
Papaya?
Yeah. Anyway, so the Church of the Subgenius, they worship this guy named Bob Dobbs, who looks like Ward Cleaver with a pipe. Looks like Bob, the guy from the Insight commercials. With a pipe. I even think he has
Bob
one.
Bob didn't need a pipe, though, on the Insight commercials.
No, he didn't. He had
Insight. He was plenty sophisticated.
Yeah. So, this Bob Dobbs. So what I found out today, the trivia thing I found out today, in every episode of Pee-wee's Playhouse in the first season, there was the picture of Bob Dobbs' head on Pee-wee's Playhouse from the Church of the Subgenius. Then I found out that some people that are members of the church were like Mark, the guy from Devo. I can't think of his last name. He's a great artist. I love his mm-hmm. stuff. He's also on Yo Gabba Gabba, which is like where all the Church of the Subgenius people hang out now, apparently. Paul Rubens was a member. There was just a bunch. Google it. It's kind of cool.
To bring all this back home.
Bring it home.
Bring it back
full
home.
Full circle.
How would a Pee-wee's Playhouse happen today?
How would
a show like Pee-wee's Playhouse? Did everybody watch Pee-wee's Playhouse?
Yes.
Well, Pee-wee's Playhouse got its start as
the Groundlings.
Other than the Groundlings, he did a special. Mm-hmm. Pee-wee Herman's been around for a long time. He got it. Did it when he was in the Groundlings, but he did a special that on HBO, and it got picked up, and it was way adult. I mean, it was an adult special. It had what's his name, the guy who from SNL whose wife killed him.
Phil Hartman
was in it. He played one of the guys. Had a lot of really big names in it. Lawrence Fishburne played Cowboy Curtis.
Sinbad or somebody was in it too, wasn't it?
Yeah, but anyway, so
that was just such a where is the market for that? I mean, they clearly didn't do a lot of market testing with that show. Like somebody's like, I like this show.
Well, that's what Yo Gabba Gabba is today. It's Pee Wee's Playhouse of today.
What is this Yo Gabba Gabba?
Yo Gabba Gabba. Oh man.
Is it something having to do with the Ramones?
No,
or something?
No.
Or the Wiggles?
What's the band? There's a band that started this. What the heck is their name? Here.
Gabba Gabba. The Ramones.
Metallica.
Was it the Ramones? Did somebody say the Ramones?
I think I said it four times.
Okay.
But I think
Yo
I was
Gabba
wrong.
Gabba.
Just got a band name out here.
Four it's times. On Nickelodeon. Okay. And let's see. Yo Gabba Gabba is hosted by DJ Lance Rock.
Okay.
And
that means nothing. Like that guy's name.
Right now, it's got the music of The Shins, Leslie Hall, Jack Black, Cornelius Bismarcky, Shiny Toy Gun, Supernova,
Mark Mothersbaugh
did the music for like
Tony Hawk, Sugarland.
Mark Mothersbaugh did didn't he do?
He did the song called Whip It. Boom, Whip It Good. The Aquabats have something to do with it. It was the Aquabats. Which is kind of a, you know, the only band that I'm surprised that's not on the list is They Might Be Giants. I love that band. In fact, I found a song I could play by They Might Be Giants, and I'll play that over the end credits today.
Awesome. Sweet.
Yes. I love the Johns.
I love the Johns. They do a John lot of, and John.
What is it? Another thing with very little marketing, the Homestar Runner.
They do Homestar Runner?
Oh, yeah. They do music for Homestar Runner, and when they play, if they play, I think they're in Georgia.
Yeah.
If they play in that area, like Homestar will come to their shows, and Strong Bad will sing the puppets.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very. I mean, the They Might Be Giants, my favorite band in high school, and I just been on a kick listening to all their stuff. And what was cool about their stuff is they would teach you things in their music. I mean, it wasn't just
the sun is a giant ball of incandescent gas.
Yeah. Exactly. And they teach you about James K. Polk and Free the Expo 67 and all these different things that were in their lyrics that were intelligent.
Istanbul used to be Constantinople.
And, but it's not.
But it's not. But it's not. And even old New York was once New Amsterdam.
That's right.
Why they changed it, I can't say.
People just liked it better that way?
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel smarter.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, their music is great. My favorite record by them, or tape that I had, was Flood. Played it over and over again. But if you liked Flood, the CD to pick up or download is Dial a Song.
That's what they had on there.
They still have an answering machine. It's like in New York City. It's a New York City answering machine. If you dial They Might Be Giants into the phone book or into the phone and you get their answering machine, you get to play a new song every day on their answering machine.
Which is awesome.
Still, to this day. It went away for a little bit, but it's still there. So They Might Be Giants. I'll put a link to their website and where you can get one of their CDs because it's great fun stuff. But
it's creative. It's interesting. It's weird.
It's creative and they make money doing it. And I think the modern day version of They Might Be Giants, it would be like Jonathan Colton, the guy who I play a lot. His stuff is
Tom Cruise crazy.
Remember
that song I was playing.
Yeah, he's got a song called the Mandelbrot Set, which is hilarious. Very much the same kind of makes you think music, but at the same time, fun. So, but anyway, anything.
But it
else?
Doesn't all make you think.
No, it doesn't all make you think.
You know, Todd the T-1000.
Yeah, re your brains.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, anything else we need to plug? Anything else we need to talk about tonight? Thank you so much for listening to the Can Man Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Thanks.
We
folks.
Really appreciate it. This is episode 38. Thank you. Of the show.
Creeping ever closer to that 40.
Yep, that 40.
Then we're going to be over the hill.
No,
is that when that happens?
No, I've got some really cool ideas for upcoming stuff. So this summer, some cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So make sure you keep listening. If you want to sponsor the podcast, you can do so by going to just sending me an email at thecanmanshow@gmail.com or just Facebooking me, say, hey, I want to sponsor your show.
What does sponsoring mean, Chad?
Sponsoring means you send me some money, I'll mention your name on the show. If you actually want to buy advertising, just contact me and I will talk to you about rates and that kind of stuff. But really, what would be great is if we could get some, just a little money.
Because we require your money to do our art.
Well, no, it does. This art does require a little capital to keep it on the internet. So, and it's, money's tight here at the Can Man Show. So, not asking for much, just enough to keep it online, which right now is currently about $25 a month.
And a Ferrari.
Ferrari would be good. I would mention you life. You for a Ferrari, you'd be a lifetime sponsor.
If you give Chad a Ferrari, he will tattoo your name on some body part.
Right cheek.
To be disclosed.
Oh, right. He's throwing it out there. Right cheek.
Right cheek, back cheek. Not front cheek, back cheek.
Okay.
Right cheek next to the pair of lips that I'm going to get tattooed there. As well. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening.
It was a really deep disclosure. Chad dug real deep into his psyche, pulled that out.
Yeah. Just
very vulnerable. Thank you for sharing that, Chad.
Thank you, Dr. Charlie. By the way, how's that debt?
It's great. I actually checked on it this morning. It was crawling. It was moving a little, so it's good.
Was it going the other way or the
it's not going in the right
just
direction.
Sort of moving around in it's a just, circle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Can Man Show. This has been episode 38. Listen again. Tell your friends to download the show. Hey, do us a favor. If you have a website. And you know, just get the word out about the show. Facebook, update your Facebook profile and say, I listen to the Can Man Show and love it. And then, you know, throw a link to the website up there. We could really use the traffic. We could use the support. And, you know, it keeps us doing this. So, love you guys. Some real love. And I really would tattoo your name on my backside.
For a Ferrari.
Because I love you guys. Butters, I love you, man.
Thanks. I'm not buying a Ferrari.
Tim. I'm totally gay for you, dude.
Sweet.
Charlie?
I'm here.
You're here. Thanks again for listening to Cannon Show. I think I've said that about 4 times. Thank you, They Might Be Giants, for letting us play this song. Have a great night.
See ya.
Am I awake? What time is it? When I get through this day, can someone tell me how, and how much longer now, am I awake? The coffee's cold, did I forget to drink it yet? Did I forget? Clothes are wet, I don't remember drinking it. When I get through this part, will the next one be the same? Will I be wondering if I'm awake? These are not the clothes I had on when I went to bed, and something else besides my head is growing from. Is it that time again? Wasn't it already then? So does it have to be the time it was again? When I get through this day, can someone tell me how? And how much longer now am I someone tell me how and how much longer now am I awake? When I get through this day, can someone tell me how and how much longer now am I awake?
Thank you again for listening to The Can Man Show. Please check out our website at www.thecanmanshow.com.
I can try. Let's see.
I love the Can Man Show. I love the Can Man. Don't you know? Download it on iTunes. That'd be sweet. We need some traffic. I can't.
Wouldn't that be neat?
There we go.
Cock.